Good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we acknowledge it's all you. We acknowledge that we are here but for a short season in these bodies, in this place. But Lord, we also acknowledge that you're eternal. You are from the end to the beginning before the beginning and after the end, and you are the Alpha and the Omega. And Lord, your church will stand. We think of Nero and other fanatic world leaders who would kill so many Christians and do so many things wrong, and yet, with all the evil in through the years, the church stands. And it's good for us to think we're one generation away from the end of the church, but we know that's not true any more than Elijah said, I'm about to die and that's your end of your business. Lord, you're out of business. No, Lord, the church will survive because it's you. And you will work through your people if we are available. And we want to be available, Lord. And we come with such weakness, mindful of our physical bodies and cherishing health. And that's good. But also, Lord, with all of our medical care and everything else, we can't extend our life one breath beyond what you give us. And we just want to be available and free from infirmities and all for sure. So I thank you for the precious people praying for me these last several weeks and still praying. And here I am, kind of broken and humble in one way, because when you're not well, you recognize how weak you really are. Not really fully recognizing, more than when we're strong. You know, oh, yeah, I can do it, Lord, I can do it. No, we can't. But Lord, as we open your word this morning, help us to glean from it as you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at Psalm 102 today. It's kind of an interesting psalm in many, many ways. Some call it a penitential psalm, because of thinking that there's a lot of repentance going on in the first few verses. And that's partially true, I think. But I think there's a lot more here than the psalmist grieving over his own personal condition. I think he's grieving over Israel. I think this, this is prophetic, so who knows when it was written or who even it was written by, because it doesn't say. The psalm before it is a psalm of David. So many people think a psalm of David with no change afterwards is still a psalm of David, but it doesn't matter. All we know is the Holy Spirit is the inspiration, and whoever the Holy Spirit chooses to write through, the Spirit writes through. But it would seem as we get into these verses that he's grieving over the condition of Israel. And I think that one of the big times of grieving over the southern kingdom of Judah was the 70-year captivity in Babylon. Because they had been taken out of their land. They had been totally subjugated to new leadership, so to speak, and language they didn't even understand. They had been taken probably barefoot, maybe naked, for hundreds of miles from the precious Israel captive. Why? Because of their sin. Because of their sin. And he's grieving. And so we have, in this psalm, a break, the first 11 verses are his mourning of an afflicted person, his mourning of an overwhelmed person. He's pouring out his complaint before the Lord. And as we get into the psalm a little bit more, we start to recognize the shift toward Almighty God and his eternal nature. You know, God has been here before you were, and he'll be here a long time after you're gone. It's not about you. It's about him and his eternal nature. And also, I want to begin with just an old hymn here that we're familiar with, I believe. But great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been forever, thou wilt be. So let's sing along with this now, if we may.
Great is thy faithfulness,
Psalm 102. I don't know how recently you've really felt totally afflicted, overwhelmed, and you were pouring out your complaint before the Lord. Well, this psalm is for you, particularly the first 11 verses. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call, answer me speedily. I look at verse 2, that last part of that verse, and isn't it ironic how God is always asking us to incline our ear to Him? And we say, just a minute, Lord, I'm kind of busy right now, and you know, but I'll get to it, or maybe in another hour I'll get back and I'll. But when we want something, we say what? Answer me speedily. Is there any pride in that? Thinking we're pretty important stuff, aren't we? Well, we are in His sight, and yet He is saying, incline your ear to me in the day that I call, answer me speedily, for my days are consumed like smoke. Just think about your days. Think about the last year. Think about the last 10 years. In one way, we can just think of those days like smoke. They were very visible that day, but then the next day, smoke's all dissipated. It's got what's left, really, in a way. My days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. Now, whether he was undergoing physical pain or not, we don't know. It sounds like he may have had a fever here, I don't know. But my heart is stricken and withered like grass, to the point that I forget to eat my bread. When's the last time you were so afflicted that you forgot to eat your bread? Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. And then there's a picture of three alone birds here. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. You ever feel that way? All alone, a pelican in the wilderness? Or like an owl of the desert? I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. The aloneness. You know, there's a whole aspect, which is not within the scope of this study, a whole aspect of the fact of Christians feeling alone. And there's that aloneness that the Lord puts us through to develop that closeness with Him, and we don't like it. We don't want to be alone. We don't want to be shunned by everybody. We don't want to be shunned by our neighbors. We don't want to be shunned by our parents. We don't want to be shunned by our brothers and sisters. And believe me, everybody, that's coming big time, I believe, in these end days. We've had it so easy, so total bathed in freedom and all, but the end's coming, isn't it? And that's not the situation that we read in the Bible. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me. I think about Jeremiah and those priestly friends in Anathoth, and even his own family conspiring to kill him. His closest friends, his closest believing friends, wanting to kill him. And here's the same kind of a thing. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me, for I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of your indignation and your wrath, for you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. Just look at the word picture there. Days like a shadow. That means there's not much to them, right? And even worse than that, a shadow that lengthens. What happens when a shadow lengthens? The light's about gone. So he's saying, Lord, my life's about over. My days are just like a shadow, and I wither away like grass. Pretty grim if that's where the psalm ended. But it doesn't. We have that great, 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 great word, but. But God, but God, but God. If you do a study in the Bible on the but gods, it will blow you away. And here is one of them. But you, O Lord, shall endure a couple of more years. Is that what it says? Forever. Think of that. Oh, my life is passing away. It's like a shadow that's lengthening. But you, God, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion. Wow. These two verses here, Spurgeon did this great study on morning and evening. I just wanted to read it to you. And it's on your notes. You may have to, page two, you may have to read it on your own again, because you're probably a lot smarter than I am. But most of these kinds of messages, I have to do it two or three times to get it. Get much of it. But here's what he said about verses 13 and 14. 13 and 14 read, you will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. Spurgeon writing, it is thought to be a psalm of the time of Daniel, the time of the Babylonian captivity. The psalmist is actually talking about the miserable conditions in Babylon and praying that for that day of restoration to the land of Israel that they would be able to go back. However, the psalm actually goes beyond that. It comes to the end of the age because the Lord did not appear in glory when Israel appeared from the Babylonian captivity. The Lord will return in glory when Zion is built up, which God is doing at the present time. Amen? The present time, it is always a thrilling thing. And traveling to Israel to hear the Jewish guides talking of Jerusalem, the stones around Jerusalem, their dust, there's just a love, a great feeling of emotion they have concerning the land and their being in the land. And then now here's the Spurgeon quote, a selfish man in trouble is exceedingly hard to comfort. Think of that. A selfish person in trouble is exceedingly hard to comfort. Because the springs of their comfort are entirely within themselves, and when they're sad, all their springs are dry. But a large-hearted man, full of Christian love, has other springs from which to supply himself with comfort beside those which lie within. He can go to his God first of all, and there find abundant help, and he can discover arguments for consolation in things relating to the world at large. Boy, how we need that today. To his country, how we need that today. And above all, to the church, how we need that today. David in this psalm was exceedingly sorrowful. He wrote, I'm like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. The only way in which he could comfort himself was in the reflection that God would arise and have mercy upon Zion. Though he was sad, yet Zion should prosper. However low his own estate, yet Zion should arise. Christian, learn to comfort thyself in God's gracious dealings toward the church. That which is so dear to thy master, should it not be dear also, are dear above all else to you, to me. What though thy way may be dark, canst thou not gladden thine heart with triumphs of his cross and the spread of his truth? Our own personal troubles are forgotten while we look not only upon what God has done and is doing for Zion, but on the glorious things he will yet do for his church. Amen? Do you believe that? Are you living that? Do you understand that? Try this receipt, O believer, whenever thou art sad of heart and in heaviness of spirit. Forget thyself and thy little concerns. I don't know why I've got my name alongside that. I don't forget thyself and thy little concerns. And seek the welfare and prosperity of Zion. When thou bendest thy knee in prayer, limit not thy petition to the narrow circle of thine own life. Tried though it be, but send out thy longing prayers for the church's prosperity. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So, you know, I look at what's happening this last week and all in the world. I look at all the great things in the Middle East being torn down now. And we would think, woe is me, woe is me. And woe is me is true in a way. And yet, how did the church stand in the face of Nero? How did the church stand in face of all of the difficult days in the past? Did it fold up and leave? Did it quit? No, it will stand forever. And we can be a part of it, or we can just stand on the sideline and complain or say, oh, I want it the way it was. We got to stand for the Lord. And we got to pray for the church. I'm talking about the eternal church. Made up of you, made up of me, made up of every believer. Can anything interrupt that? No way. We have an eternal God here. So nations shall fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. Verse 16, he shall appear in his glory. When it says the Lord shall and the Lord shall, does that mean the Lord shall? Does that mean, well, except that you don't understand the world leader that we have right now. World leaders be, the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. Soon, he's going to come back. He's promised that. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. This will be written for the generation to come, that a person yet to be created may praise the Lord. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven the Lord viewed the earth. Oh, I love it. To hear the groaning of the prisoner. Oh, yes, he hears you groaning. He hears me groaning. To release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. Hasn't happened yet, but it's getting close. Getting close. And then he closes here. He weakened my strength in the way. He shortened my days. I said, oh my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations of old. You laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. The heavens will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will change them. And they will be changed. But you, Lord, are the same. But you, Lord, are the same. And your ears will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the promises. We thank you for your soon coming. We thank you for your church. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for being born again. We thank you for allowing us to be usable in some small way until you do return. And Lord, you have us each here today to maybe bring a little bit of love, a little bit of hope in a way, a little bit of encouragement to those whose heads are hanging low. Maybe they're fraught with physical problems. And Lord, so many right now, I think of Steve and Pat Apple and Don and Marta Patton, and the list goes on and on of people right now with the COVID stuff and all. And Lord, we know in most cases it's not fatal, but it is painful. And Lord, we thank you for the healing that goes on in the midst of it. And I just thank you for these last few weeks of being down myself, Lord, to have time to spend with you and just recognizing my own weakness and your greatness in a way. And here we see it again today. So now we have these moments together to pray as you would prompt us to pray. And we know that you hear. We know that you want us to pray. You know you're prompting us to pray even now. And so lead us now in these moments together. We thankfully and gratefully pray in Jesus' name. As we draw near the end of the hour here, just wanted to call your attention to what's ahead. I'm going to close with singing this song, The Holy City. And just to, here is the facts. This is kind of a commentary, The Holy City. But Revelation chapter 21, as you know, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, listen to this, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God. And he shall be my son. Let's just put this to song now, if we might.
Last night I lay asleep, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. City coming down from God, and I heard a great voice saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And then methought my dream was changed, new earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city
beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets, the gates were opened wide, and all who would might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon or stars by night, no sun to shine by day. It was a new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was a new
Father, we thank you for the encouragement. We thank you for your truth. Your word is truth. Lord, I thank you for these precious ones who so faithfully come each Saturday and whatever Saturday or whatever day it is. And Lord, may we keep our eyes fixed on you. May we stand for you, Lord. May we not shrink back and be quiet when we should be just standing for you, Lord. What opportunities you will give each of us. I pray that you would keep us healthy and strong, that we would be available to do what you have for us to do. Not more, but certainly not less either, Lord. So bless each one because they came. Heal those who are hurting physically. Heal those who are all mixed up emotionally. Heal those who are hurting financially. And heal those who are being deceived, Lord. And we need to keep our eyes fixed on you and on your word, Lord. We thank you for meeting us here in Jesus' name. Amen.